Good morning to all of you this morning. Why don't we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for another day of life. We thank you for the opportunity to gather to worship you. We thank you for your word. We ask that you would open our hearts to receive it. And Lord, we thank you, Father, that you have given us a word that is not only for here today, but it is a word that goes into eternity. Lord, we ask that you would bless our time together. Would you help me to speak words with clarity and just a clearness of mind. In Jesus' name. For an opening text this morning, if you would turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. In verse 3 and 4, and we'll read there. Start reading in verse 3. It says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." I guess this first, the first verse here this morning that we're looking at, I'm not necessarily going to be talking about scoffers today. I'm more going to, my thoughts are more to give you a little bit of a backdrop of kind of the, where this message came from to my own heart is, as I was considering my life and as I was considering what to share this morning, and to be real frank, last week was a tough week. It was a really tough week. And I was thinking a lot about just, I came home Friday afternoon and I was tired and the last thing I really wanted to do was prepare a message for today. As I sat down, I got off at work a little earlier on Friday, and so as I sat down to read and meditate, and things started to come together, and I started thinking about it, different things. And this morning, as I was pondering what to share, you know, sometimes in life we just get weary. We just get tired. And I'm a young man, and I get tired. I just, sometimes it's not just the physical labor that we're in. Sometimes it's just a feeling of just being tired of fighting or walking not that there's a temptation maybe to give up, but there's just a temptation to become relaxed and to become somewhat superficial. By that meaning, during the week is a challenge, and I come in Sunday morning and I try to look okay. But you know, it's reality. Paul talks about it a lot, and as I was studying this morning and thinking about just looking up a few things about weariness, and this is just kind of a, like I said, this is just kind of a like a an introduction to the thoughts that came, the encouragement that I received that I want to share with you here in a few moments. But let's first turn Galatians 6:9. Some reason this morning I'm turning the wrong way. In Galatians chapter 6, In verse 9, Paul tells the church at Galatia, he says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And there's a lot more verses this morning that I found. I decided not to spend too much time on that this morning. But just an encouragement that it's okay. We do get weary. And it's okay to admit that this morning. It's okay to admit that we're weary. It's okay to realize that the challenges of this life are real. And another thing that I was thinking about, you know, it's during those times that we begin to think. Sometimes when your mind is weary, you begin to think of things, and you begin to think of different things, and you think, you know, that you forget the purpose that you were here. And it's probably some of it can stem to like a self-pity and focusing too much on yourself. And I don't want to underestimate that. But this morning, the heart of my message is God's Word. And as I was studying Friday afternoon a little bit and starting to think about it, I opened my Bible to 2 Peter verse 1. And I'd like for you all to turn there. And I'm going to start reading in verse 16, and I'm going to wait till you're there. I would like for you to be able to follow along. While you're turning there, we all know that Peter was one that was with the Lord. And it seemed like he followed the Lord very closely, and he spoke very easily. And he was one that was very intimately engaged with Christ as he was walking through this earth. I want to read verse 16 down to verse 21. It says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." I'd like to focus on verse 19 this morning, and we'll turn to a few others. Some of them I will just turn there myself. You don't have to necessarily follow along. You know what? This morning, there's more surety in God's Word. God's Word is more sure. It is far more sure than any feelings, experiences, or any other thing that you can have in your life. God, I was thinking as I was driving here this morning, I was thinking about God's Word. It's a pillar. It's a ground of truth. And as I was thinking about that, we do a lot of concrete work, different times, and some of the pads we pour, especially for pads that hold heavy equipment that are on there continuously. Those pads, we pour them with tremendous amount of bar and different things that we put in there to hold up those tanks. But this morning, God's Word is more sure than anything we can even think about. God's Word is the foundation. It is the foundation of the Christian's life. And if your life is not based, if the Christian's life is not based upon the Word of God, then we're bound for failure. If we depend on our feelings and depend on our emotions to lead us through this life, we're bound for failure. It says in verse 19, it says that ye do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. If you think of a light that shineth in a dark place, you know, you're walking maybe outside in a really dark night, or you walk into a building or a room and you shine that light and you get a beam, and you follow that beam. You don't turn the beam on and then quickly turn the light back off and walk. You follow that. You turn that light wherever you want to go, and you just follow that light, and you point it toward the direction that you want to go. That's the way we're supposed to follow Christ. He is that light. God's Word, the eternal Word of God, is that light that we follow. That we follow in the darkness. In the darkness of this world. You know, we hear different times of people, they're disillusioned. They're disillusioned with life, and they're disillusioned with society. They're disillusioned with what they can do, and you know, they're disillusioned with the you know, elections. It seems like, you know, presidents come and presidents go, and parties come and parties go, and things just never change. And you hear them say, you know, what can we do? You know, what can we do to change our society? The Word of God is the only thing that will change society. Even though they mention many things, and people say, you know, that they have the answers, but the Word of God is the only thing that can change people's lives. And I was thinking as well, you know, the promises. God's Word has promises, and God's Word has curses. And each one of those are the surest thing that you can fix your life on. There's nothing more sure. There's nothing more powerful than basing your life on the Word of God. In 1 Kings 8:56, I found there was a verse that really impressed me, and we're reading through, working our way through 1 Kings right now, and just really impressed with the way that David lived his life, and with the commitment that David walked with the Lord. But in 1 Kings 8, verse 56, it said, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given us rest, that hath given rest unto his people, Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he has promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers." This was Solomon as he was praying. I did not read too much of what was happening here. Yes, it was the dedication of the temple. That's what I was thinking. That's what it was. He says that, and he's praying there, and he's telling the people, and as he's blessing the congregation, and he said with a loud voice, he said, "Blessed be the Lord, and then that hath given rest unto his people all according to all that he promised." His testimony is, there hath not failed one word. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. So all the way back there, he looks back into Moses, and he said, up from Moses till today, there hath not failed one good promise. There is not one promise that he hasn't fulfilled to his people. And that's the way God works. He says something. He speaks. You know, as I was thinking about this, you know, God speaks his word. His word was spoken. It says by the mouth that some of these things were written down by his prophets. But there were words that he inspired. There were words that he spoke, that Jesus spoke himself, that are written in our Bible today. You know, those words are words that are... I can't think of the word that I'm looking for, but those words are forever. Those words will, even though this world will burn up and go to nothing, there's one thing that's not going to burn up. There's one thing that's not going to pass away. There's one thing that's not going to fail. And that is the Word of God. It will remain forever. In Isaiah 40 verse 8, it says, "The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever." You know, we're right in the time of the year. As I was driving the other day, I noticed flowers, and I'm not exactly sure what kind of flower they were. But it was out in a pasture field. Obviously, there was no animals in them, or they wouldn't have been there. But I just noticed the flowers. There was just a tremendous amount of flowers in that field. But we know that the beauty of those flowers is beautiful. It's beautiful. But here in a short while, those flowers are going to fade away. And the grass that's greening up right now, we know that that's also going to wither. That's also going to pass away. We, too, grow from little. We grow, if the Lord grants us life, we're babies and we grow up. And we too will pass away. We too are going to pass from this life into the next. But the Word of God, the words that God has spoken, the words and the promises that God has spoken, they shall stand forever. And I just want to impress upon our hearts this morning just the tremendous blessing that our lives can be fixed on such a sure foundation. Because as we're walking through life, people do fail us. People disappoint us. People, and I do it myself, sometimes we make promises that we can't possibly keep. There's sometimes we say things that we'll do for people, and because of different things, we can't make them. There's times people tell us things that are not the truth. But God's Word is the final truth. It is the Word that will never disappoint you. And it's the Word that will never let you down. In Luke 21, verse 33, it says this, and we're all very familiar. It says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." You know, the very words that God spoke and the heavens and the earth were formed. This earth that we see today is all going to pass away and vanish and go into nothing. That word, this world that we're living in today is held. It says all things are held together by Him. It's held together by the Word of God. And I've thought about this some. You know, if you really, and I don't understand how atoms and all those things work together, but if you want to have a nuclear blast, and if you want to have something the world talks about nuclear, and they talk about nuclear blast, if you want to have a nuclear blast, let God take His hand away. Let God take His hand away and let that word pass away, and you'll have the very epitome of a nuclear blast. We're all held together by His Word today. It says, though the heaven and the earth, you know, all these things are going to pass away, but His Word will stand forever. In John 17:17, it says, "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." And I shared some of these things earlier already. But again, God's Word is that sanctifying truth. It is that Word that we base our lives on and that we live our lives according to. As a encouragement, I guess, this morning to all of us, is let's focus on the Word of God. Let's focus on the promises that He's offered us and simply follow them. simply heed to the Word of God and let all the distractions and the cares of this life, as they come, let's find ourselves meditating on the promises that He does. He says He does care for us, and He does. He cares for us this morning. He promises us that. And so according to what we've read and what I've talked about and what I have found, is that if He promises it, according to Solomon, none of these promises shall fail us if we are obedient and follow Him. I don't have a lot more this morning. I just want to leave you with that encouragement. And I was encouraged by that little study, and I hope you can be as well. Thank you.